The toy bar is open! Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your hosts and toy barflies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by Shellhead Comics and More. This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles right here on ToyWorldOrder.com and on iTunes and Stitcher under Toy World Order, brought to you by Shellhead Comics, the Shellhead Comics blog, and more at shellheadcomics.com. Welcome, my jovial co-host. And might I add that he was called charismatic this weekend, Dave Draper!
And good with people.
And good with people, which are complete opposites.
Yes, I know. Apparently, our friend Bill is from Bizarro World.
Yes, where Dave is charismatic and good with people. He said that, said that we all kind of looked at him like, "What? Like, who are you talking about?"
Well, because there was a whole thing where like he mistook the name of someone from a guy we know from class, and I think that guy's a jerk. He's like, "And I wouldn't have thought you were friends with him, but you're charismatic, you know,
and good with people." Like, and we all were like, "Who are you talking about?"
To be fair, apparently Bill's like a total like Bill makes me look sociable. Like if his Facebook posts are to be believed.
Yes, Bill's
he's a good guy. He's a great guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy. But yeah, he's
he's a little bit of an introvert himself.
I get a feeling at that table sometimes I'm like the only like
extrovert.
Yes.
Brad's like you. He's good with people, but he doesn't necessarily like them.
People, yes.
Yeah. And Brad. Brad can be difficult.
Yes.
Which, you know.
I'm used to difficult.
Yeah.
I sit next to you every week. I'm used to difficult.
Ouch.
I'm sorry. It's all true.
Hurtful.
It's
hurtful
all true.
Words.
The truth hurts, David. It hurts. It's painful, but it's good for you.
I'm just saying, if I was a D&D character, charisma would be my dump stat.
Aw. Roll for charisma. I can't.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Ironically, I went to Bard, but I'll never be one.
Oh, boo.
That worked on many levels.
That did work on many levels.
Yes, it did.
Congratulations, sir.
Well, I went to Bard. I got that creative writing degree.
That was genius.
That was worth the cost of my house.
Yeah, how's that treating you these days? Good?
Great.
Yeah,
well, yeah. I mean, technically, I write for Bard.
Yeah, that's true.
That's
true.
Technically, I do what I got a degree in.
That's true. You just didn't go paid for it.
I got paid once.
Once, yes. We did get paid
once. The one project I had nothing to do with.
Yes.
Actually, I tried to have something to do with it, and I just systematically got shut out at every turn, so...
Well, not by your fault, or my fault.
Not by my fault, no.
Yeah, no.
No.
Other controlling factors.
Well, yeah, like every actual creative suggestion got shut down.
Yep.
And then that was the beginning of your love affair with David Gall, so he got to, like, move the lights around, which was, like, my one job.
You still got to move the lights
I
around.
I never got to move a light around. I never even touched a light. I held on to the scripts, the extra scripts that... Just in case someone lost their script.
Yes.
My job was to
You were script boy. That's equally important.
That is not equally important.
It's perfectly equally important.
It's a lie. It's a lie they tell script boys so they won't, like, strike.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't watch wrestling. I heard about it, and then on Monday, because Survivor Series was this past week in the WWE Survivor Series.
Yeah, I saw someone, I think I saw Irizarry post about that.
A decades-long tradition now. But Goldberg made his in-ring debut after 12 years, something like that.
Something like that. Wasn't he like never going to wrestle for the WWE?
He was never going to wrestle again. I think he was.
I thought back in the glory days of the WCW, he was like real. He was a real partisan for his organization.
He was, and then he went to work for Vince for a while and had a good run there. And the last like WrestleMania match he was in was against Brock Lesnar. And he beat Brock there, and they both left the company the next day. Like, they were both leaving, so no one gave two craps about either one of them. Like, they booed him the entire time, and Austin was the special guest referee, and at the end of it, he ended up, I think he... Like, Lesnar got beat, he rolled out and left, and then Goldberg and Austin, like, toasted with beers, and then Austin stunned him and left everyone happy.
Yeah.
So he, you know, Goldberg left, and... Went on, you know, Lesnar left and tried to get into football, and that didn't work. And then he got into UFC and MMA, and
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Made a career out of that and came back bigger than ever.
Good for him.
Goldberg, meanwhile, left and became the host of several different shows, like on, I want to say, like, one was on CMT and some other station, maybe. Right. I know he's hosted a number of different shows now. So now he's come back, and he's, you know, just as big as when he, you know, when he was back last time. So, but he and Goldberg had this big fantasy warfare match at Survivor Series. It was billed as a one-time only thing. Like, Goldberg had just come back for Survivor Series, and they got in the ring, and for weeks leading up, like, Lesnar kept saying he was going to dominate Goldberg, and he was going to leave him a bloody mess, and it was going to be, you know, and all this stuff. And they got in the ring, and Lesnar pushed Goldberg into the, like, pulled him into the corner, and then Goldberg pushed Lesnar onto his butt. Lesnar got up and turned around and turned into a spear, and then he got speared again, and then he got jackhammered and pinned for 3 in 1:28.
Wow.
Yeah. And everybody goes, that was the main event? What the hell was that all about? Well, it turned out that Goldberg had signed an extended deal, and it's part of a bigger picture that'll probably see them having another rematch, an actual, like, match. Hmm. So, but everyone's like, I can't believe Lesnar agreed to do that. And I'm like, why? He got paid. What does he care? Like, he's not hurt either way by that. It's not. But it was interesting, though. It was one of those interesting wrestling things where I'm like, well, that happened. And it was very, very cool. Some movie stuff going on in the world. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them opened up huge.
Yeah.
Which kind of figured it would.
Yeah, I kind of figured it would. I've heard mixed.
I have too. I've heard some good things and some bad things about it.
Seems like the bigger Harry Potter fan you are, the more you like it.
Yes.
Which doesn't surprise me.
No.
Like there's apparently a lot of stuff in there that really, for someone who's like maybe more of a casual fan,
yeah,
they don't explain or they don't work it out very well. It's based on the review I saw. I saw a review, right, with like some of the guys were huge Harry Potter fans and some weren't.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, we still need to see that. It's been complicated.
Yeah, probably next weekend.
Probably next weekend.
Yeah, we're not going this weekend. This weekend's going to be scary.
Oh, we're not going this weekend?
Well, we might. I don't know. It's going to be very frightening.
Yeah, by Sunday it should be.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Well, by Sunday it should. By Friday it should have be. I mean, the stores are already pretty bad. Trust me, I've been in them.
Yes, I know. But they, Fantastic Beasts opened up, with a combined total worldwide and domestic of $226 million.
Not bad.
No, not at all. On a $180 million budget, so.
Yeah, you got to double that.
Yep, they're getting there. Moana opens up this weekend.
Well, the domestic total is, oh, that's 81.
Domestic total is 81. The foreign total is 145.
I thought
that was 800. Yeah, it's like, ooh. Pretty crazy that it opened up that powerful.
Not really. No. It's Harry Potter.
Yeah.
You know, people can't get to the stupid play, so.
Yeah. Kathleen Kennedy talked a little bit about Star Wars stuff this past week.
Apparently.
She was describing Chris Miller and Phil Lord's upcoming Han Solo film as a heist movie and a Western.
Makes sense.
Yeah, which would make sense for Han Solo. Why wouldn't it be?
Yeah, because Han's a scoundrel, and I can see him. I mean, you know what? It sounds very Firefly, is what it sounds like.
Yes. It's going to be a very interesting take. I think it's going to be very, very fun to watch. But then she also announced that Rogue One is not going to have an opening crawl.
That's fine. That's fine.
It will still have the Star Wars logo.
Yeah.
But no opening crawl to tell you the story. It's just going to pretty much jump right into things, it sounds like.
That's fine.
Yeah.
In fact, I almost like that better. I like keeping that special for the what I call the Skywalker saga.
Yes, which makes sense.
And letting the other films just be their own thing.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
The Pacific Rim sequel has started filming.
Has it?
It started earlier this month. Started this month in November. Filming. Yeah. Pacific Rim Maelstrom is the name of the film. So it's going to be.
Yeah.
I liked the first one.
I love the first one.
I think the sequel should be interesting.
We'll see. Like, I haven't heard too much. I know that the main guy's not back. And obviously. Oh, crud. What's his name? I want to say Stringer Bell. Idris Elba is not going to be in it.
Right.
From what I heard, Charlie Day was supposed to be the only guy that came back, and I don't know if they got him.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. It'll be very interesting.
I mean, I did love the first movie, but it it feels very kind of, it's like in the old days when you got a sequel and you're like, it's a sequel and nobody's back.
Yeah, nobody's back, but it's a sequel. Yay.
And it's, you know, oh, they're fighting more giant monsters from a rift.
Right.
It's the first film all over again.
Yeah, pretty
it's
much.
It's the 80s live.
Pretty much.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Our favorite Broadway composer, conductor, and star, Lin-Manuel Miranda, I think he was asked this question just kind of, happenstance, because he's out promoting Moana.
He's out promoting Moana, yeah. and Marvel's a big thing right now. Yes. I can see that. And it's just Disney.
It's Disney. So they asked him if he would like to be any Marvel or DC projects, and he said he's given to the character. He's given some thought to which character he'd like to play, and that one character is Spider-Man Batty Carnage.
Yeah.
Dave's not sure what to make of that.
I have deeply mixed feelings.
Yeah.
Because the Carnage's whole thing is he's like a really skeevy, white, trash, trailer park, you know?
Yeah.
Like, plus, I mean, he sucks. Like, Carnage sucks.
Yeah. I've been hearing a lot about Westworld.
I have been hearing a lot about Westworld.
And apparently it's a show that if you're not watching, you probably should watch it.
Well, but, okay. Feel free to pay for my HBO and I'll...
Well, fair enough. You can always come over and watch it here.
You got HBO?
I do have HBO.
Okay. Well, I'm sure Carrie would be thrilled that I'm here more often.
Actually, I think HBO allows you to share the HBO Go password, so I might be able to just share the password with you and be like, here, watch HBO Go. Watch it on there.
Is that a computer thing or a...
You can do it on your phone.
You know, I'm like, ooh. No,
yeah, I believe so. You used to be able to. I'm pretty sure you still can.
I don't know all these things.
You don't know these things?
I don't.
Dave is unsure of these things.
It's weird. You would think that having grown up with computers and stuff, I'd really be on top of these, but...
You haven't had a computer in front of you for 2 years now.
The older I get, man, the more it just feels like, well, I've had the stupid phone.
That's true.
But it just all feels like witchcraft.
How does it connect to this thing? I don't understand it.
Very badly, that's how it connects to that thing.
Pixar and Disney released the teaser trailer for Cars 3, which opens up next summer.
That was interesting.
Are furious.
Really?
Because it's traumatic for children.
Well, because basically I didn't hear the sound, but I mean it's like, kind of like the opening of the first film with the racing.
Yeah.
The car zipping around. And what's interesting is Lightning's in the back of the pack.
Yeah.
Either he's super far ahead, which I don't think, or he's in the back of the pack. That's what they may look like.
Yeah.
And then he has a wreck.
Yeah.
And like that wreck looked, you know, you don't actually see him, but you see the debris. It looks bad.
Yeah. Well, you do see him at the very end of it flying upside down.
Well, you see him flying upside down, and then it cuts to the debris. Yeah. And you're like, wow.
Yeah.
No, that got me interested. Way more than stupid Mater's Spy Adventure.
It's Mater's Spy Adventure was not well received by us.
No, it wasn't quite as terrible as everyone makes it out to be, but it was not good.
The plot synopsis that's been released is Lightning McQueen sets out to prove to a new generation of racers that he's still the best race car in the world. So it's more of a comeback story, having to make a comeback after a dramatic wreck.
Yeah.
So
basically, it's Days of Thunder.
Yes. It looks like Owen Wilson is back, but they don't say anything else about...
you got to bring Mater back.
Well, I'm sure
he'll be back. Even as a secondary character, yeah. He's got to...
I'm sure he'll be back. But
I'm sure the whole cast that's still alive will be back.
Yeah. Also released yesterday was the full trailer for Smurfs The Lost Village, which, of course, we've had two Smurfs films already, which were a combination CGI live-action movies.
Yeah.
The first one was okay. The second one was a disaster.
Was it?
Yes, it was pretty awful. This one, they went all CGI animation, so there's no live actors in it.
Oh, no, Hank Azaria. So
Hank Azaria is not Gargamel this time. And he was the highlight of both those films, was his Gargamel.
From what I saw on cable, yeah.
Yeah. But it's a completely different voice cast this time. And the Smurfs, clumsy, I believe it's clumsy, hefty, brainy, and Smurfette, set out to find the lost village of other Smurfs that apparently have existed, and they find out about it and go to discover them while Gargamel tries to stop them. So,
all right.
very interesting. Like this past week was like full of oddball trailers popping out and stuff. That I was like, oh, well, that's interesting.
You made a new one for Kong Skull Island.
Yes, the Kong Skull Island came out. Did you watch that?
I believe I did. I don't know that it was radically different than the first one I saw.
A lot more Kong. Like, yeah. You actually got to see Kong in extended, like...
And you see the natives, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yes, yes, yes. So, that was a lot of fun. That was very interesting. Remember when Guardians of the Galaxy came out and James Gunn said there's one Easter egg in it that has not been discovered?
Yeah, maybe.
Like, there's still one huge Easter egg that's been unfound in the movie. And James Gunn, people are like, that doesn't exist. You're just lying to us. And James Gunn has bet $100,000 of his own money on it. So if you discover it, it sounds like James Gunn is going to pay you $100,000.
All right.
Because it has not been discovered, and that movie's been out for almost 3 years now?
About two and a half,
two
I think.
Two and a half, yeah.
I wish I knew more about Marvel.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm surprised no one has found it yet, which is kind of weird for films like that to not have found all the Easter eggs. Like,
yeah.
Like, how has that not happened yet?
It happens sometimes.
Yeah. For fans of Disney's Frozen, there's a Lego Frozen Northern Lights adventure that is going to be on the Disney Channel, I believe this weekend, this coming weekend. And it features the voice cast of the film, but it's all done in the Lego Friends Disney Princess style.
Yeah.
So it's a, I don't know if it's a first for that style. I think they've done a Lego Disney, a Lego Friends movie.
I don't know.
Yeah. So it's, that was a, I saw that trailer on Disney Channel the other day. I was like, oh, well, that's interesting, I suppose. I guess. The Arrowverse crossover happens next week, and this week's CW superhero show has been building up to it.
Well, not really.
In a sense, kind of.
No.
No?
This week's episode? This week's episode had nothing to do with it.
Supergirl had nothing to do with it?
Oh. Mm,
well, that sucks.
Not a sausage.
I thought they were going to kind of build up to it this week at some point. I know the end of Legends of Tomorrow from last week had...
Had
White Canary at the very end come in to Palmer and...
Well, yeah, but they're not going to have... I mean, this week is going to be Thanksgiving. They're not going to have a new episode.
That's true, yeah. So, but I thought that was interesting. I was like, oh.
Yeah, no. I mean, there was a lot of cool stuff on Supergirl this week, but... Like, I posted this on Facebook. They basically all but confirmed Batman in the Supergirl universe.
Yeah, because she makes a comment about my cousins.
Yeah,
because
they were talking about Jimmy Olsen is Guardian, and
oh really?
Oh, okay. Wow, you are way you are much farther behind than I thought.
Yeah,
and but everyone thinks that he's this crazed murderer.
Right.
There's this other vigilante who has a completely different costume, but like oh god, like he captures this guy. Vigilante captures this guy. You know, classic sort of, you know. Hooks him on the foot and has him hanging upside down. And it's all caught on camera. And then the other guy walks up and kills him. And it's like, oh my god, it's all caught on camera. That vigilante caught that guy and then, like, took two steps away. And then, like, changed his helmet, apparently, to a completely different helmet. And then killed the guy. Like, what? How stupid are you people? But anyway, they think he's a murderous vigilante. And so she has a line about, my cousin worked with a vigilante once. You know, a lot of gadgets, a lot of demons. Did not work out.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, that's cute. Confirmed for Batman.
That's cute. We know that we lost Deadpool director Tim Miller on Deadpool 2. He decided to leave to go direct...
Something else?
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Good call.
Yeah. Well, they've announced and made it official that they've hired director David Leitch, who directed John Wick.
Which is supposed to be a really good film.
Which is a really good film. So he is now the front runner. He is... now in charge of directing Deadpool 2.
Okay.
So that is that was a big kind of get for them, because yeah, John Wick was a huge film, kind of a new renaissance for Keanu Reeves.
Oh, she was the one joining the Han Solo movie.
I knew
someone.
Emilia
kind of
Clarke,
high, yeah.
Emilia Clarke, yeah, is joining the Han Solo film. They have not said who she's going to play. That was something else.
A girl,
Star Wars,
probably. Well, yeah. Well, I mean, not everybody has to be related to the frickin' original saga.
No, but that was very interesting, too, that this week Carrie Fisher came out and said that her and Harrison Ford had indeed...
that's like the oldest of old news.
Exactly. But like, still, they finally were like, yeah, we did stuff.
That was... Like, that's how that whole I love you, I know thing came from. Uh-huh. Was they were out, well, they were all getting drunk. They were, you know, getting drunk, and they showed up on set, like, just hung over fudge. And in the script, the line is, you know, she says, I love you, and he says, I love you, too.
Right.
And he's like, Han Solo would never say that. And everyone agreed, Han Solo would never say that. And they just kept running through, you know, they kept coming up with lines and running. And, of course, they're hung over, and they just want to go die. Yeah. And finally, he's just like, I know. And everyone's like, this is great! A lot of Harrison Ford's best moments are due to him being sick or hungover. Or
yeah.
Just not caring.
Yes.
It's great. I love him.
Hot Toys showed off the Star Wars Rogue One figures
Hot
for
Toys
the new
doing
film.
Star Wars figures? That's know, just right? crazy.
So they showed off at a Star Wars-themed pop-up store at the Moko Mall in Hong Kong.
Star Wars-themed pop-up stores.
Right? Hot Toys unveiled the new 1/6 collectible figures from the upcoming film. The new figures on display included Jyn Erso, Baze Malbus, Chirrut Imwe, K2SO, and a hover tank pilot. All
right.
So, I mean, they look really...
Do you even need to say it?
I know, it's Hot Toys, but still, they do look gorgeous.
They do fantastic.
And then the other Hot Toys thing that came out last week...
this blew my mind.
Which had Dave going, I might get that.
It's like, is this real? Is this real life?
Hot Toys announced a new 1/6 scale Star Wars Stormtrooper. Done his paint job in the form of a porcelain pattern. So, like, you know, the old porcelain plates.
I have dishes with this pattern.
Yes, Dave does have dishes with
this
pattern.
Which I inherited from my mom.
Yes. But Dave has these. Yeah.
I'm just like, this is insane. Is this a real thing?
It is indeed a real thing. Hot Toys is really doing this.
I kind of really want one. It's so bizarre.
It is bizarre.
I love it.
It's going to be available as a limited edition item in select markets only.
Yeah.
But, of course.
If it pops up on Big Bad, I'm locking down my pre-order.
But, of course, the everything looks... You know, like a normal plate.
It's a Stormtrooper, but with that blue China plate pattern.
Except on the back of his helmet
is
a scene from what looks like Rogue One.
A little bit, yeah.
Because it's the...
Yeah, that with the palm trees.
Yeah, with the palm trees. So, but yeah, it's brilliant.
From a planet whose name I don't know yet, but I've seen it mentioned.
You've seen it mentioned, yes. It was a very interesting thing, though, because everybody was like, is this for real?
I was like, is this a joke? This is crazy. Is this some designer nut job? No, it's a real thing.
Real thing.
It's so bizarre and yet so beautiful.
Yeah, it's a pretty...
I don't understand it, but I want it.
Dave must have it.
It's so weird.
Dave must own it.
Dave must. Oh my God, speaking of awesome,
they announced today, Lego showed off pictures of their Lego Batman movie minifigure series. These are going to be blind bagged.
Boom!
Yeah. But they're amazing.
The character choices are...
Here's some of the characters in the series. Joker, Red Hood, Nurse Harley Quinn, King Tut, The Calculator, March Harriet, The Eraser, Dick Grayson, Commissioner Gordon, a ton of different Batman.
Catman.
Catman's in here. I mean...
Catman, Dick, I think that's Barbara.
Yeah.
Caveman Batman, Commissioner Gordon, Tooth Fairy Batman, yeah. Hard Rock Kiss Batman,
yes.
King Tut, just hanging out in his bathrobe, Batman, yes. with the
lobster.
Yeah, March Harriet, who I don't know, Nurse Harley Quinn, I think King Shark, Batgirl in a weird pink costume.
Yeah.
The Red Hood.
Yes.
I guess that's the calculator.
The Eraser,
Joker, and then the Mime. The Mime who appeared in one comic ever.
And then Batman with a rubber ducky flotation device, which is a first for Lego, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a new thing. And then Zodiac, what they're calling him, or I don't know that guy.
It's got to be Zodiac
because he's got a Z and he's got the symbols.
Yeah. So yeah, this was brilliant by Lego. I mean, just
that movie looks just like everything Batman ever.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
It's so goofy looking.
But like at this point, there's almost too much stuff. Like, you know, that most of those guys are just going to be, like, in background shots.
Or those costumes are all going to be just costumes in the Batcave. But still, I mean,
come on, he'll actually put those on at one. There'll be a montage of him putting on the stupid
costumes. Yeah, there will be.
You know that. Yeah. Oh, and Dick, or Robin.
Yes.
You see that thing in his hand?
Yeah.
That's an anti-shark
repellent
spray.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, my God.
Yeah, so Dave will be probably hunting this entire series down, I imagine.
I probably will.
Yeah, this... You like to cherry pick a lot of these?
I do, but there's so many.
All this whole series is just stunning. Like
it's like the mime and King Tut.
Now, is this something that you would just order a whole case of and be done with it?
No, maybe.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Possibly.
We'll see how it goes.
It's like, maybe.
It's like, oh, the Kiss Batman. I want that.
I know, man. That it's just an amazing lineup.
It's sad when the Joker's like the least interesting character in the whole lineup. Yes. It's like, yeah, he's okay, but they got the mind.
Yeah. I like Eraser. I think he's cool.
Yeah, he's a crazy Silver Age villain.
Yeah. It's my neighbor actually had a bunch of his comics from when he was a kid. Yeah, you were telling me that. Yeah. And he was like, hey, what are these worth? And I was like, well, and I start looking through this box of them. And it's a lot of, like, gold key stuff. So it's a lot of licensed, like, Beverly Hillbillies and, like,
Star Trek.
Well, yeah. No, was there any Star Trek in there? There was
Star Trek.
They did Star Trek, but Gold Key did a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
And then I start digging through the box, and I found a bunch of old DC stuff from the late 50s, early 60s.
I think, because it had the checkerboard pattern. Yeah, the one you showed me had the checkerboard.
I think it was Batman 108 was the issue, and I was like, well, that's kind of cool. Only superhero thing in the whole lot.
Oh, wow.
But I was like, well, let me take these over to the house. Let me look at them.
Yeah.
I was like, let me go get some bags and boards for them so they're better preserved, so they're not just slammed into this box that they've been in for 35 years, 40 years, or whatever. And, that was the only one that was kind of cool, though. I was like, I kind of read it, kind of flipped through it carefully and read it and was like, this is kind of cool. Some of this old Silver Age stuff is really neat. That was a fun little thing this weekend. NECA showed off pictures of their Ultimate Gizmo figure. Which is, hopefully this Gizmo's head and face won't break.
Well, his face comes off.
Yeah, really. But apparently they're notorious for, Gremlins figures were notorious for breaking because they're so tiny. And but this Ultimate Gizmo includes his little paperclip bow and his flaming arrow made of a pencil and a whiteout can, a horn, a candy cane, a Santa hat, his little Rambo
headband,
and then he's got two Rambo headbands. I don't know what that... He's got this, like, string of... I don't know what that's for. I don't know if it's a scarf or what it's supposed to be.
Maybe it's like a bandolier or something.
It could be.
Ironically, I'm planning on rewatching that movie as soon as I can.
Huh.
Because some people I liked did a commentary track.
Yeah, yeah. But he comes with the removable faces. He comes with four different faces. So you'll be able to actually pop the front of his face off and put a new one on and display him however you like. So... He's got his regular Gizmo face, and then a smiling face, a scared, sad face, and then the Rambo face with the headband. So, and the pupils can move. So
yeah, well, they always could.
Yeah. So that's kind of cool. That was kind of neat to see. I was like, oh, that's cool. Like that makes me very, very happy.
Oh, that site can't be reached.
Apparently, it cannot. That site was Big Bad Toy Store.
Oh noes. Oh well.
Oh no!
Oh no!
What has happened? I was looking to see if that Lego Batman set was on here.
I don't think so. I've never seen them do a whole.
No?
Oh, they're putting up the.
Yeah, and they're putting up the sets, and all the sets are sold out.
No, those are old ones.
Oh, those are old ones. Okay.
Yeah, they don't really do a lot of Lego.
Yeah, which is sad. They should.
Well. What's the Spider-Man Wave 5? That's that one with Ms. Marvel.
Yeah, and Sandman, the Sandman's ability. Yeah, those are hitting right now, too, I've seen.
Are they hitting?
They are hitting. They are hitting. So there's something else for me to keep an eye out for.
Grumble, grumble,
grumble. Grumble, grumble, says David.
I want to be done with this nonsense.
Well, you're not going to be. Not anytime soon. Sorry, dude. Boo, hiss, boo, says David. Now, look at it this way. I mean... It's always fun for you to find room for, you know...
No, it's not.
New Marvel Legends? It's not?
It is absolutely not fun to find room for new Marvel Legends.
Well, that's sad, David.
Well, now a lot of them are just replacing old ones, but then I gotta find... The old ones are all valuable, and I don't want to just put them in a bin somewhere.
True.
There's going to be... Probably in the next year sometime, there will be a specific place just for valuable old Marvel Legends.
Yeah.
Like, it'll be an official spot.
And not on the shelf with all the other ones?
Well, yeah, because right now it's just randomly on some bookshelves.
Yeah. Oh, David, David, David.
I'm one away from just randomly Dave buy stuff. One away from Star Wars. That's freaking R2-D2 with the...
Really?
Yep, I just got Han Carbonite today. And I'm one away from Robotech.
Who do you need on Robotech?
The stupid Zor Prime. He's like the most commonest, cheapest, stupidest figure.
And you can't find him?
No, I just haven't bothered.
Oh, okay.
I just haven't bothered.
So you've got all the rare ones then?
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah, no, with Star Wars, it's one of the rarest, and with Robotech, it's one of the most common.
Yes. And then you also got, did you get any of those superpowers for
I got Clark Kent.
Clark Kent. Does he do anything?
Yes. He squeezes his legs and he does the punching.
He does the Superman
punch. He does the running punching.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yes, he does.
I know, I played with your superpowers the other night
at Danny's?
Game night. No, at game night when you were, when Floorburger was here and we were touring, I was over there playing with the superpowers figures because some of them I've never got to play with.
Oh, yeah.
So I got to figure out, like, with Cyborg, with
Brainiac.
Brainiac, what he did. And I was like, what's he do? I was like, oh, well, that's dumb. He kicks.
Yeah.
That's stupid. Stupid Kiki McKickerson. Dumb thing. Next week on the show, we're actually going to have an entire show devoted to a special guest.
Hooray.
And his name is Blake Wright. I can't talk tonight. Blake Wright. Sorry, Blake. Losing my... my mind is slipping today, unfortunately. Blake Wright is a friend of ours. He's a friend of the site. He's a friend of the show. And he's also...
He was there at
Geno's. He was at Geno's at King County. He is also the author of an upcoming book that he is getting ready to, launch on Kickstarter. And it is Toys That Time Forgot. We've talked about this. We talked about this book like a year ago, I think, when he first announced it. I remember really being excited about this book because the idea behind Toys That Time Forgot is it's a history of unproduced action figures. And not only does it cover the norms that we know of, like Dark Crystal and some of like Skeleton Warriors and some of those oddball ones like that, Earthworm Jim.
Yeah.
Blake has spent the last 9 or 10 months traveling the country for other business, but traveling the country and meeting with a lot of these old designers from different companies, the old heads of different companies, and finding, taking pictures and seeing some of the most amazing canceled toy line prototypes and just the amount of stuff that was proposed and never got made. I mean, Blake and his wife Holly visited Springfield this past summer, and Dave and I visited with them.
Yes.
They came over to Dave's to see the collection, and we got to talking, and he showed us a little sneak peek at some of the stuff that's going to be in Toys That Time Forgot, and this isn't like hyperbole. Some of the stuff that he showed us will blow your mind.
Some of it was pretty amazing.
Some of it was amazing. Some of it was, some of it was cool. Some of it was just downright damned amazing. Like, stuff that I was like, I have never seen that.
Yeah, or I had no idea they did that.
Yeah. So Blake will be on the show next week with us to talk about Toys That Time Forgot and give us some details about the book, which will probably more than likely be on Kickstarter at some point here soon. Hopefully.
Okay.
He said January is when it's probably going to launch, but we'll hear more from him next week.
My goodness. And
I know the dog's angry. Yeah, so next week Blake Wright will be joining us to talk about that. I look forward to that. Should be a fun show. We're going to talk about hopefully he'll talk about some of the stuff that's going to be in the book. We'll talk at length. It's about some of it, as I know that he's got a lot planned. And hopefully more than just one book. So we'll get to chat with him next week. That should be fun.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. I guess last week I was bored and kind of poking around.
What? You?
And, yeah, I know, right? And I went to the Action Figures Archive, the action-figures.ca, which is a site I use a lot they cover a lot of different oddball toy lines, so, and cover them well. So
I know where you're going with this now.
So it's a site I go to, and then I realized one day, I was like, oh, they have a forum. Well, I like going through forums. Surprisingly, forums still exist in this day and age.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I'll go poke at their forum, because you don't have to be a member to look at it, but I was like, I'll go poke through their forum and see what's going on. Well, the first thing I see is a listing, a little forum thing called Toy Ads from Industry Trade Magazines. And this user, Star Run, had a bunch of these old, like, licensing magazines, character licensing and children's business playthings, toys and novelties, toys, hobbies, and crafts, toy trade news, the toy book, toy and hobby world, licensing, like all of these books in the 70s and 80s came out, and the 90s. Like, you got them at Toy Fair, you could subscribe to them. And a lot of these books and a lot of these magazines talked about the toy industry in general and licensing, but they all had these amazing ads for either upcoming toy lines or just, you know, oddball stuff. The first one I scroll past and see is this, just this beautiful image for Inhumanoids.
Like, yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah, it's amazing. And the next one I see is this gorgeous one for Sectars.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's... and then, of course, I started saving these images to see, well, what size are they? Because those would be amazing posters.
Yeah.
Well, they're not big enough, unfortunately. Nah, they're only the size of a magazine page.
Oh, good old Thund. Urcats.
Yeah. But a lot of stuff. Some really cool Mattel...
That's
old
true.
Mattel ads.
Hulk.
Hulk for all. So, I mean, a lot of this stuff is really, really cool. Like the Electronic Rage Cage Hulk. Secret Wars for Mattel. Defenders of the Earth.
That's, like, going through this, because I followed your link going through this, what's fascinating to me are the big spreads, like, for something like Defenders of the Earth.
Yeah.
Which did not necessarily make a big splash.
No. And I love the prototype figures on this page, because... Garrick's, his chest on the regular figure is like this hologram sticker. And on this, it's just like a little portrait of Ming.
Hmm.
And then Phantom, instead of just his little whip, he's actually got what looks like...
kind of a cat of nine tails?
A tiger whip.
Or a...
From Thundercats, without the little balls on the end of it.
Could be.
Yeah.
That's probably what it is.
Yeah. The $6 million man. Just like all this really cool stuff. Super Joe...
No.
Or is that Adventure Team?
Yes.
But Super Joe is in there.
No.
That's not Super Joe? Oh, Mike Adam. Mike Powers.
Mike Powers.
Mike Powers. Dang it, I was close.
Apparently it's the Super Adventure Team.
Yes.
So we were both sort of right, but I was more right.
But yeah, I mean, just was scrolling through this, and if you're a fan of the, if you're a member of the fan group, you can actually go find this link and kind of scroll through these yourself. There's like four pages of these, and they're not all... They're not all great, but a lot of them are amazing. The Battle Beast one, which this gorgeous, gorgeous artwork
it's very
on
cool
it.
Artwork.
Yeah. Old school Turtles from the old Playmates when they launched the line. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just... I saved everything I could find, man. Like, Power Lords.
Yeah. Like I said, these kind of smaller ones that got like a big... Like, hey, Raiders of the Lost Ark, made by the guys who did Star Wars toys.
And they didn't show any figures.
No.
It was just like...
Then I remember the Remco watch, like, and Remco, we exist, we make crap.
Yeah, we make stuff.
Look at our stuff.
I like, though, if you look at the Remco logos, there's a logo for Thundar the Barbarian.
There is. Well, I've heard that they were going to do that.
And they never did it.
Well, maybe we can ask Blake.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's in the book.
Might be in the book.
I don't remember. Oh, I remember that one, too. That was just, like, crazy random animal toys.
Yeah. The HG,
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's so many, like, the beautiful Masters
one
with...
One. I've seen that one before.
Yeah, the Star Wars and G.I. Joe and MASH figures behind him in the smoke. some great stuff for, like, Eternia, just, like, a great illustration of Masters I'd never seen before.
Wow, I wish I did that, Tila.
Yeah, that ain't a lie. That Tila is amazing. Some old Thundercats for the animated series.
Is that like Thundercats?
Yeah, Thundercats stealing everyone's thunder.
Yeah,
I know.
Clever,
right?
Actually.
Transformers stuff.
Hasbro makes it happen.
Hasbro Bradley is going to knock out the knockoffs.
Yeah, because the images of the Transformers.
Yes.
Which, of course, are the most knocked-off third-party toy line ever.
Today, yeah. And in the 80s, even, they were getting knocked off, and... Hasbro just could not stop it, which just they can't stop it now.
Like GoBots.
I know, right? There's an awesome, like, two-page mask comic ad for licensing. So, like, for t-shirts and stuff, apparel and accessories, it was kind of neat. I mean, this thing was just, you found a bunch of stuff, like the Ideal Star Team.
Star Team.
You found your little robots.
My little Tommy robots, yeah. I know. That amazed me that they had an ad for those guys.
Yeah. Dude, Black Star with the Ice Castle, and friggin', I mean, just so much, like, Galoob with, like, wind-up shirt tails and Smurfs. Another great, like, a really cool image of G.I. Joe I've never seen. It's kind of tiny, but it was for licensees, and it's just this really kind of cool, them, like, flying a ripped flag, and it's...
Well, there's a bigger image.
There's a bigger image, and it's got, like, it's got all kinds of stuff, man. It's got, like, Storm Shadow attacking an All-Striker, and it's nuts. Like, these were really cool to find. And the funny thing is I started looking through some of these, and I was like, I remember some of these magazines because my mom worked at the mall, and she worked on the same floor as Circus World.
Huh.
And she knew the manager of Circus World. So when he would go to throw these magazines out, because they got these magazines all the time, she would bring them home, and I remember having stacks of them when I was younger and looking through them because they were like, you know, not just because they'd scanned all the toy ads, but it wasn't just toy ads. It was animated series ads.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing stuff for Pink Panther and Sons and all this really cool stuff. And I go, you know, I remember seeing this going, I would love to find some of these magazines now. Dragon Riders of the Sticks.
And which, like, toys. Again, like, just, I'm surprised they bothered to advertise it.
Yeah. And a great kind of black and white... I saved a ton of these just because I was like, well, if this vanishes, I'm going to be sad if I don't have any of these because, holy crap, I was like, I want to have all of these. And just like the Godaiken forces from Bandai, which was all the like Voltron-esque like Sentai Ranger stuff.
Roboforce
licensing, Gobots, Success That Doesn't Change.
Yeah.
Legions of Power. Remco, McDonald's, wow. Crystar,
Mantech. Wow, you just hit the mother load.
There was a Hanna-Barbera TV series in development for that line, holy which cow. Never happened, yeah. Karate Kid with some comic.
Legends of the West
by Empire. Wow. Yeah. Check that out, David.
See, there's the town I was
always... The town, yeah. That's all just like cardboard.
Yes.
Yeah. And if you ever find one, probably expensive.
Yes.
Yeah.
The ones popped up once.
Super Ninja, which from original toys, which I thought was fascinating because it's like these three ninjas and then She-Ra like girls with ninja masks on. Literally.
Hey, man.
These weird big bad stuff, small package, huge toys of like wrestlers. So they have this Road Warrior Hawk that's in this tiny little bag and it looks like he inflates. Weird.
Fish Price Fence people. I've seen that ad before.
Actually. Have you?
Yeah.
Steel Monsters. Monsters. I know, man. Freedom Force, Master of Ninja, Air Raiders.
More Fisher-Price Adventure people.
You don't have the Alpha Star, do you?
I do have the Alpha Star.
Do you have the Alpha Star?
I do have the Alpha Star.
What are you
Star.
Missing from that? Just the Recon? The Alpha Recon, which is the little...
I'm missing that. I'm missing the little Dune Buggy. I think I'm missing the little red vehicle. I might have the alien. I can't remember if I have the alien or not. Excuse me. That must have been that bean I ate.
Goodness. Come here, you... I got a puppy dog crying at me. Come here, you. Get up here and sit with Jason. Super Joe.
Kids like retailers who like Super Joe. I know, right? No.
Jason Wheel Warriors. Multimac, which was one of those oddball.
I've never heard of that one.
Bug Force.
Wow.
By Kings Ford Limited. And it's just this goofy, like, ship and this helmet you can wear. It's super kooky. Some more Multimac. Barnyard Commandos. Turtles, Darkwing Duck, Visionaries, Dino Riders, Toy Max's WCW Battling Brawlers kind of thing. More Turtle stuff for year three, some more Master stuff. It's just showing you all the different advertising, like the Power Sword sweepstakes and all this merchandising, the displays and all this crazy stuff. This was early stuff too. This was... The promotions planned at the time of launch for Masters was mini comic premium free in-figure packages, high-intensity Power Sword National Sweepstakes, thousands of prizes promoted in a Sunday comic strip advertisement, plus a shelf strip POP available, cash rebates throughout the year from Mattel. Licensing includes Master Universe Build significant recognition with DC Comics, Halloween costumes and masks by Ben Cooper. What I find interesting is Halloween is spelled H-A-L-L, or H, what's it? H-O-L-L-O-W-E, apostrophe E-N. I don't know why. Western Publishing pop-up game. Merchandising includes end aisle merchandiser peg hooks for to your fixture, shelf strips. I mean, lots of cool stuff, man. An old, like, hand-drawn, just another advertising thing for Masters, which had, like, Grayskull and all this stuff, like, really kind of rudely, crudely hand-drawn on there with early packaging. Just some really cool, like, the warning from Mattel to any and all persons planning to copy or sell copies of Mattel's toys, Master Universe products, and basically, like, we're going to sue you.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah.
There's like a million He-Man knockoffs. I know,
right? It's friggin' advertising for cops, Dragon Knights and Daggers fantasy creatures.
I got that dragon.
I know.
I think I got that from Floor Burger.
Just
like I remember those guys, the Starroid Raiders.
Starroid Raiders from Tomlin.
Those are worth all the money.
Yes, they are. From a company called Califex in this, which was interesting. Bloodsuckers, the little pins. Crystar, and I mean, just there was so much cool stuff that I just, like, the other night in bed, I just started, like, right-clicking every other picture. I was like, these are amazing! Friggin' Multi-Toys, who made Bugmen of Insectica, and Nightmare Warriors, which are a big deal now. These PVC animals from this company called Hangshun Plastic Manufacturing, which are clearly Roxxon Bugs and Thing knockoffs.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah. Clearly took those molds and knocked those suckers off. Which I just found fascinating. Like the Clash of the Titans sweepstakes. Tonka's Supernaturals, like, give you an idea of what they're made of. I mean, just very cool stuff, man. Compu Robot, which was a knockoff.
Was it a knockoff, or was it like they sort of repurposed?
They might have repurposed Vincent.
Vincent from Black Hole.
Yeah, Black Hole.
Because I think I heard something about that. That was supposed to be an official Black Hole thing, and it obviously that
yeah didn't happen. Anywhere. Yeah, very. It makes me want to find one now. Interchangeables,
which are like Micronauts, only not.
Yeah, only not.
They're I think
not.
That was when they reissued them.
Was that when they reissued them?
I believe.
And then an old TSR Dungeons & Dragons advertising.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. Oh, scary. Yeah, I found that and was just like, this is amazing. Like, everything about these are simply stunning. Just a spectacular look at licensing from the past and the advertisements they would take out in licensing magazines for stuff. And
it's just kind of cool to see, you know, because you figure, like, something like Star Wars or He-Man or Transformers, they do a big push. But it's cool to see... Especially the Bugmen of Insectia.
Yeah.
Like, they made an effort to try to at least get those into stores, you know? That was kind of neat.
Buy our crummy stuff. It'll be great.
Buy our crappy little figures.
Everyone will buy them. No one bought them. Oh, boo. Now they're worth all the money.
Yeah, now they're worth
them. Yeah. I think you've only got a handful of Bugmen of Insectia. You've got two.
I've got two, and they don't have any other stuff.
Yeah. That's the hard stuff to find.
There was a guy at King County a couple years back who had the whole set.
Oh.
Yeah, I think he wanted like $600.
Yeah. That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
A lot of money.
Don't give me that look. That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. A lot of money for a Black Hole figure, too.
Needed to happen.
That's true.
He may not be alone soon.
Oh, my God. Why?
Well, he's not alone now, technically.
Did you find a humanoid?
No.
I was going to say, holy
crap.
Well,
I mean, I found one, but it's $1,400.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
But Dave...
He doesn't have his boots.
They never have their boots, dude.
Well, that's why I'm not paying $1,400 for it.
True. Oh, my goodness. Well, gang, that's going to wrap up the show for this week.
What about fan questions?
Oh, God, I forgot all about fan questions. I told you, man.
I love you, fans.
I am not with
it. I cherish and appreciate you.
I apologize. I am not with it today at all.
Jason Duvall, who puts on a front of being the lovable host, hates you.
He hates all of you. I am not with it at all this year.
He takes you all for granted.
I'm excited about Thanksgiving.
Really?
I am, actually.
I'm not.
Bew Curly says, do you have a shopping list for Black Friday, both brick and mortar and online? And then he wants Mike Irizarry for third Mike. Well, Boo, it's never going to happen.
First of all, I only like Mike. I don't really know a lot of Mikes, so I certainly don't know three of them. And the other ones that I know, I don't like very much.
Yeah.
So I mean, he'd be the first Mike. But he lives in St. Louis, so
it's true. Shopping list for Black Friday. Dave's got nothing.
Well, I'm on the road.
Dave will be in Chicago. Yeah.
No, I'll be on the run coming home.
Yeah. The only thing I'm going to do is on Thanksgiving, I'm going to go online and order a bunch of Lego Dimension stuff because everyone's got them on sale for stupid cheap, and I'm done.
I might. This is going to sound super exciting. I might see if there's a sale on shirts at the DXL website.
Yeah.
Because I've been buying some, I got some new clothes today, but they didn't have the shirts I like.
Really?
So I might just wait till Black Friday and see if I can get some shirts.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, I got some socks today. I'm going crazy. Oh, I'm a madman.
You old man, well, you.
Apparently, we have to take off our shoes at her mom's house, so
I
figure it might be a good time to get some new socks.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea. Our buddy Floorburger says, I think I may still be lost in Dave's collection. Send help. Floorburger came down to visit.
I looked around. You're not there.
Yeah, he's not there. Floorburger came to Springfield to film some stuff with Pixel Dan and then came to hang out with us. And he goes, thanks for the swank day, gentlemen. Had a blast. And that goes out to Pixel Dan as well. He goes on to say, after playing some unique board games with you and the rest of the crew, and after my question last week about action figure board games, what's a toy line you think would be great to turn into or use with a board game?
I don't know. Yeah.
Dave is stumped.
Now I'm pulling it of all.
Yeah.
I'm tired. I don't know.
Dave don't know. Oh my god. A toy line that would work as a great to turn into. Pretty much anything that I collect has turned into a board game.
Barnyard Commandos?
I think there was a Barnyard Commandos game.
Oh my god.
I think there was. And we just talked about licensing at length, and they licensed the crap out of that stuff. Yeah. And even the game didn't sell, they would just repurpose board games that they'd made in the past.
Well, yeah, my Columbo board game, I can't remember, like, it was some other game that they just slapped Columbo stuff on, yeah.
And the real Ghostbusters 3D board game that came out is Witch.
Yeah.
So, I don't have an answer for you, Floorburger. I really don't.
Dragon Rise of the Sticks.
Ooh, there you go. That'd be
kind of fun.
And you could use your figures on it, and then they break when you look at them wrong.
Well, they also have the smaller figures, too. They had, like, that whole set of, like, little plastic
figures. Oh, yeah, the little plastic. Yeah. Jeff May says, what's on this year's Christmas list? Again,
nothing.
Yeah, Dave's got nothing.
I got nothing.
I got a couple books that I want. I want The Art of Atari, which just came out this year, and Walmarts are carrying, which was weird. So I found it at Walmart's book section and took it over to Carrie and showed her and went, I want this book. I must have this book. And we kind of flipped through it, and she goes, there's not a lot to it. And I'm like, doesn't matter. I want it.
Doesn't matter. Want it.
Trying to think, there's a book, what is it, The Art of Transformers Packaging or something? It's called something else, but that's been out for a couple of years, and I've just never pulled the trigger, and I really kind of want that book, because that's a really neat book, and it looks beautiful. But other than that, I really don't have anything on Christmas list. I mean, I'm going to pick up Lego Dimension stuff, just because, and Carrie and I don't usually buy each other gifts for Christmas, so...
Huh.
We usually worry about the rest of the family, and then we just celebrate Christmas by sitting on our couch and watching TV all day and going, haha, we don't have to go anywhere. It's amazing.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
All right, you already got yours from me.
I did. Yours were amazing. Alexis Lasik says, three questions with the holidays coming. What is the best part of Thanksgiving to you?
The food, I guess.
Food.
It's done well, the food.
Mine has always been the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
I don't care about that.
And the ads. Those were two stalwarts from my childhood that I was like, I love this time.
I love the catalogs when I was a kid.
Yeah. They
don't do that anymore.
What does your Thanksgiving dinner look like? I ask because some eat ham, others eat turkey, some both. Me, it's going to be vegetable lasagna. You monster, you.
I don't know.
I call him a monster because, holy crap, why vegetable lasagna?
I don't know. That is kind of meh.
We were made to eat meat! Meat!
We weren't really, but
well, fair enough.
Technically, we actually weren't,
but it's so good.
I know it's so good. That's so good. Unfair. But I think because I'm going somewhere this year, so I think it's turkey. I think it's just the traditional turkey and in the past, I've gotten stuff from like Bob Evans, and it's the turkey and the green beans and the I think the one thing they don't do is sweet potato.
Yeah, I've never.
Oh, I love that.
Really?
Yeah, it annoys me it's not part of the Bob Evans.
I've never been a fan of sweet potatoes because they're marshmallowy and they're weird.
You don't have to put the marshmallows in it.
Yeah. Ours was always, and still is, turkey and biscuits and gravy and stuffing.
Croissants.
And we've had a couple years in a row now, we've had, with all of that, we've also had lasagna soup.
Okay.
Which is this, you know, it's just basically...
I can kind of imagine. It's like tomato soup.
Yeah, kind of, but it's, you know, it's lasagna stuff, and then you sprinkle the cheese over it, and it melts, and it's really good. That's usually what Thanksgiving is, dinner is for us.
And pumpkin pie.
And pumpkin pie. Mine's always been pumpkin bread.
And then I take the leftovers, I put all the leftovers into one, like, pot, and kind of sloosh it up, and eat that for the next couple days.
Nice. Let's see. And finally, what is the best part of Christmas for you? Decorating, family, gifts, parades, etc.
When it's over.
Well, Dave, I, if you've listened to the history of this show, our first episode was called Christmas Nazi.
Yeah.
And it was about Dave's frustrations with his mother and Christmas.
Yes.
and how she drove him simply bonkers. So now Christmas has just kind of become this...
It's not my favorite holiday.
Yeah, Dave is not a fan of the season. I don't know if I have a favorite time of Christmas anymore, because, again, it's we don't decorate the Duvall household, mostly because we have every animal on the planet.
There's
and
that.
They tend to destroy things when things are dangling. So we don't put up trees. We don't put up lights. We put up stockings. We put up a few things here and there. But since Carrie and I don't buy each other gifts, it's not really... It does us no good. It's just like, oh, pretty.
It does us no good.
When I was a kid, though, it was always Christmas morning. It was always Christmas morning getting up, opening presents. That was always... and I have some really interesting memories of being a lower middle-class child and, you know, being a son of a single mother, and she'd save all year just to buy stuff for Christmas, and you'd wake up on Christmas morning being like, oh my God, there's so much, I don't know where to go first. But it was never that much.
Yeah, see, I think I've... My thing is yeah, Christmas morning was great, but there was like a two-pronged thing. Because number one, like, we always had to go somewhere and do something.
Yes, I hated that.
So I couldn't play with my toys.
Yes.
And number two, I think I've told this on the... My birthday is in January.
Yeah.
So my parents would wait until I go to sleep, and then they would take half my toys and hide them, and then give them back to me on my birthday. So...
Well, that's frustrating as a child.
Yeah, that was like...
Where'd my toys go? You'll get them back on your birthday. What?
Yeah, so that was kind of crappy.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I got to college, and all my friends were talking about what they were going to do with their Christmas money, and I'm like, what is Christmas money?
What is Christmas money?
You get money that you can buy what you want? What is this madness of what you... Yeah, Mom, that went over like a lead balloon.
Oh, yeah. Poor David. Sorry, dude.
Whatever.
Alex Pasquale says, what were some movies as a kid, specifically from the VCR age, that you would watch over and over and over again and wear out the tape? My mom would lovingly give me grief every time I put in Karate Kid 1 and 2 or any of the Back to the Future trilogy. She'd say, again, I still have those well-loved tapes from my childhood.
You know, it's interesting because I'm old enough that...
You're old enough to remember Betamax.
I have a Betamax.
I know.
But I'm old enough to remember when movies weren't released for purchase.
Yeah, they were only
for the
rental.
General public. They were priced such that only rental places could afford them.
They were priced $100 and higher.
I think Empire Strikes Back was $80. But this is 1982 $80.
Yeah.
Which is probably more than $100 now.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was monstrously expensive. So you just didn't go buy movies. We I'm pretty sure that my copy of Empire on my little Betamax tape is I'm pretty sure it's from when they showed it on Showtime,
so and it's got
like,
it.
So it's got the Showtime logo pops up on the bottom of the screen every now and then. My friend Chris, you know, Leia's husband, what we would do is he had a VCR, I had a VCR. We'd go rent a bunch of movies, and we'd have a sleepover, and copy,
and dub them.
So all my movies are really, really horrible, and I mean through college, like, you know, like my version of Star Wars is this blurry, blobby, horrible copy that we made.
Yeah.
And I still have that somewhere. I still have most of those, you know, actually they're on those, cassette boxes that, the right next to the Aliens, bookshelf.
Yeah.
I still have most of those. But so, Raiders is one that I always watched over and over again.
Right.
Constantly. I'm trying to think of something else that I would just watch all the time. A lot of times I would just watch stuff that was on TV. I know, you know, we were just talking about my mom. Her two things were always Ferris Bueller.
Right.
And Independence Day.
Really?
Of all movies, like, if Independence Day was on and she caught it flipping through the channel, she would just stop and watch it. Yeah, it was so cute.
Oh.
Yeah, and then she loved Ferris Bueller. And then in modern times, weirdly enough, it's been like The Avengers and the first Captain America movie. I've seen those so many times.
Mine as a kid were Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yeah.
I watched the hell out of that movie. And the first Turtles movie.
Okay.
And Home Alone. I watched Home Alone a ton. Because it still to this day makes me laugh hysterically. Because it is still probably one of the best holiday films made.
You want to know a secret?
Huh.
Never seen Home Alone
all
the way through.
Oh, wow.
I think I've seen like most of the opening up until he's alone. I don't think I stopped. I've never seen Home Alone. I've never seen Home Alone 2. I don't think I've seen Home Alone 3. I think chunks of it.
Yeah.
Well, I know. But.
Well, my mom and stepdad, before we owned a VCR, we'd go out every Friday night and they would rent like a VCR or a beta player, and then we'd rent a bunch of movies and watch movies Friday and Saturday. So I would always get a bunch of kids' movies, and you know, so that's how I first saw Flash Gordon on beta.
I first saw Flash Gordon. I think I've told this story. My friend, I saw it in college, and I was having a bad weekend, shocker. And part of it was my friend Chris, his girlfriend was coming up to visit, who's now his wife,
right?
Lovely wife. And usually he would go to visit her. So the weekends kind of sucked for me because I was all alone. And, and Flash Gordon was playing at the student center, and she said, "Why don't you invite Dave?" Oh. And, you know, and so, you know, he's like, I want to hang out with you. You know, but he invited me, and it's such an amazing, fun, you know, I mean, it really kind of turned that weekend around for me.
Yeah.
And I've always, you know,
fondly looked back on Flash Gordon.
That's one of the reasons I love her, and I love him, because they kind of, you know, quietly coaxed me out of my shell, and there was this great, fun, crazy-ass movie.
Yeah, it's...
So...
If you've never seen Flash Gordon, it's spectacular.
Do yourself a favor. I mean, it's terrible,
but it's amazing.
It's so much fun.
Yeah.
All creatures will make merry under penalty of death.
I think the Queen soundtrack really
the Queen
makes
soundtrack,
it.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. But yeah, the VCR age was a very... I mean, just much like the 70s and 80s for toys was just a very magical time to be a kid.
I mean, I'd have sleepovers with my friends. My mom would run a bunch of, like, really crappy slasher movies and monster movies.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. It was good stuff, man. It's good stuff. And then Cam S. Clark says, "Hey, guys. Thanks for the birthday shout-out. It was funny. You're very welcome, sir."
You're welcome, A.
Well, my question is, with the year almost over, what are your toy highlights for this year that you bought from stores or shows that really stand out in your mind as a great or good purchase? Thanks, and keep up the great work.
Last year I did a video of toys of the year. I don't think I can do that this year because I don't think there's five worthy candidates. But absolutely, hands down, it was getting boss fights for Trivian Hacks. I mean, that is the toy line of the year.
Yeah, I agree.
They're just amazing, and I'm glad we finally have them in hand.
Yeah.
I think the best, I mean, my favorite toy show, my best purchases were, I think that little wind-up walking R2-D2 from The Last King County.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those kind of weird grail pieces that just never shows up anywhere, and it works. And then the Cokebot from an earlier Toyman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a couple, like, really interesting, like they're well-known, but they're not really easy to find. Star Wars pieces this year.
Yeah. I think, you know,
yours, obviously.
Out of everything this year is the Ghost Command playset.
Yeah.
And getting that all together. The other one is the Vulcan Rock playset.
Yeah, I guess that kind of
counts. That was a huge get for me, and that's, you know, both those places, it's just like your stuff. Stuff's well known, but it never shows up. Like, you just never find it.
Yeah.
And then I got some oddball pieces throughout the year that were kind of fun. Nothing, you know, the Titan Wars stuff for this year was really good, Transformer-wise. I mean, I've been...
Are you looking for the Walmart one or Walgreens one? Because it's everywhere.
Yeah, I know they are. I haven't pulled the trigger on them because I'm waiting for Walgreens to have a sale on them because I'm not spending $18
Fair enough. Because I was looking for the C-3PO and I saw it a lot and I kept meaning to, like, text
you. Yeah, because they've got both of them.
Yeah.
Which is funny, those are Walgreens because those are both two really well-known characters and it's like you have to find them at Walgreens.
Well, but C-3PO is There's a regular version.
Right, with the
which
red
is,
arm.
Which is, yeah, which is the Force Awakens version.
And then the old school version.
The old school version is the Walgreens, yeah. which is stupid and back-ass words.
Yes, I agree. But yeah, I found some very interesting items this year that that have been kind of fun overall. But yeah, the Titan Wars stuff was really good, really well done. I kind of wish that I could afford Fortress Maximus, but oh well.
Yeah, they're kind of building up a surplus of those at Toys R Us.
Well, I believe it, and I imagine they'll get clearance eventually because no one's buying them. Well, so, yeah.
Give me Trypticon, man.
Yeah, Dave's waiting
for Trypticon. I'll buy it.
Well, there you go, guys. That's going to wrap it up for this episode, actually, for real this time. like I said, Blake Wright will be on the show next week, so I'll have some question threads for him. Of course, a lot of people aren't familiar with Blake, but he's done some great magazines throughout the years, and he'll, Toys That Time Forgot. There is a Facebook page for Toys That Time Forgot that you can go check out and see. And some of the pictures scrolling through there is like, he's got pictures of the fully painted, unproduced second series of Bucky O'Hare, which are pretty amazing to look at.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's some really cool stuff on Blake's page, unproduced wise. I mean, he's, you know, he got a lot of pictures of stuff.
Yeah, that stuff got produced because I own it.
Yeah. But, the actual prototypes for the Fifth Element.
Oh, wow. Some of the stuff that he didn't show us. So.
Yeah, some of it, tons of Earthworm Jim stuff that he talks about. So some great stuff, and we'll, like I said, we'll talk more at length with him next week on the show. Make sure you check out our sponsor, Shellhead Comics, the Shellhead Comics blog, and more at shelleheadcomics.com. Check them out, give them some love. Check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/ToyWorldOrder, and youtube.com/BoredTheShow, our sister site.
Will there be anything to watch?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, there wasn't a new episode this last weekend, but there's the last three are coming. All
right.
And then we've got a Christmas episode, so, yep. There were some issues with the with episode 8 that I had to fix.
Okay.
That took a little bit more time than I thought was going to. Let's just say there's a certain character in that had to be animated, and I was having issues.
Oh, yeah.
So that is taken care of, and now I can finish that episode finally. But it's coming. More board is coming for the rest of the year. So you'll get the complete season and the Christmas special by the end of the year. So that's something to look forward to.
Hopefully.
And then Dave and I will be back next week with an all-new show. Everybody have a great Thanksgiving. For those of you celebrating the holiday, have a wonderful Thanksgiving with friends and family. Enjoy the day. Enjoy the holiday. Be safe this weekend. Traveling. Nobody. You'll get where you're going. Just take your time. Be patient. Traffic's going to be crazy out there, which is why Dave's leaving tomorrow.
Yeah.
So everybody be careful. And gang, we'll see you next week. So until next time, David.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
The Toy Bar Peeps is closed. Peace out.
Gobble, gobble.